This is Brother Austin Wiggins from the Vital Church of Christ. I am the co-host with Brother Tommy Brooks. We got Brother Alexander. And so Brother Alexander is our speaker tonight. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, about the oneness of God, the oneness of God. And so we are ready. Brother, take it away and preach God's word. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Wiggins, for that beautiful introduction. My name, once again, is Brother Sherman Alexander, a minister of the Zion Church of Christ in Somerville, Texas. I am so thankful to be a part of this nationwide gospel meeting call. I'd like to thank those from Holland Heights, Stroud, Brother Brooks, and others, all you brothers, for allowing me this opportunity. And I'd like to thank the listening audience on tonight for tuning in to this gospel meeting call. This meeting was designed with you in mind, and I pray that I would be able to say something that will help all of us make heaven our home. And, you know, I always say that if you're not trying to go to heaven, you're just not living at all. My message on tonight comes from the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, there is one God, one body, and one spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Just for the next few minutes, I'd like to speak on the subject of the oneness of God. The oneness of God. You know, God has always presented us with a oneness. All through biblical time and all through the Bible, from the beginning of time, even until this present moment, God has always shown that there is a oneness. On tonight, we want to adventure through the Bible to see exactly what is meant by the oneness of God. We want to define the term, which sometimes it means to be unified. It means to be make one in unity with God. We want to look at how God planned this oneness, how Christ pleaded for it, and how Paul preached it. You see, in the very beginning, after God had created things, he created from the dust of the ground man. He created man, and he told man that all the trees of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. And the day that thou do that, you will surely die. And after the end, God said that it was not good for man to be alone. So he made man a helpmate, woman. And the Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse number 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So God, all from the very beginning, knew that it would be one flesh, the first marriage, the first husband and wife. But even that, Adam and Eve decided they would eat of that tree. And because of that, God imputed sin upon all men. Drove them out of the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3 and verse 23 and 24. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, and the verse is number 12, the Bible gives us a good understanding of why, what happened in this garden, and how sin came about. because that was the very first sin. The Bible says, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all had sinned. And the Bible says in verse number 19, for by as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So what the Bible is teaching us here, that because of what Adam did, sin ran upon all men. And the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse number 23 that all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But according to Romans 5 and 19, what we lost in Adam, we gained in Jesus Christ. You see, God loved the world so much that he wanted to reconcile all of us back to him. So I want to show you that God only has a plan to save man, one plan to save man. And everybody has to do the very same thing. The Bible says over here in John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you see, this belief in Jesus, it doesn't come out the wind. The Bible says, now Jesus said in John 7 and round verse number 38, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his mouth shall flow, out of his belly shall flow living water, rivers of water. If you want everlasting life, we can only get it by listening to the word of God, by applying this word of God, by believing because of this word of God. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse number 21 and Matthew 1 and 23, that virgin shall be with child, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. So you see, God had a plan to save us, and he had a plan all the way from the time before the world even came about. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says God had predestinated us and chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the world came about, God knew we would be lost. God knew man would sin. But because of his motivation of love, he wanted to make a way that we could still be saved. So now we have Jesus on the scene, because he so loved that world that he allowed Jesus to come. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse number 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we can see Jesus had a purpose for coming. And the Bible says in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All was lost. All of us was doomed and damned. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son into this world. The Bible says in John 10 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man, he said that I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it with abundance. If you want to live forever with God, we have to go through Jesus. You see, Jesus took away that sin of death that was imputed upon all mankind because of what Adam did. Let's listen to what is said in the book of 1 Corinthians. O death, where is thou sting? O grave, where is thou victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is of the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory in Jesus Christ. Now, guess what? Jesus prayed that we'll be one. And you see, one thing about Christ, when Christ came, he said that the things that I'm speaking, I'm paraphrasing in John 12 and 49, he said, I got them from the Father. I don't just speak what I want. I don't just say what I want to say. Everything that I say, it comes from God. Now, the Bible says in John 12 and 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. So we can see that the Father and the Son are one. And guess what else? Even the Holy Spirit. Because in the making of man, the Bible says, in Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our image. See, we were made in the image of Almighty God. Now, in 1 John 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. And we need to understand that what you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. You got to have them. If you got one, you got the other. In John the 17th chapter and verse number 20, the Bible, here we can have the prayer of Jesus. You see, Jesus wants us all to be unified. He wants all of us not to be denominated. He wants all of us to be one. One in unity, doing the things that's pleasing and acceptable to Almighty God. The Bible says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So oneness in God, the oneness of God exists, and it existed then, and it exists today. Now, let's talk about Paul. Paul preached unity. Paul preached being one. Now, in Ephesians 4, the Bible says, I'm going to just read verse 1 and following. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. See, God wants us to be one. He wants us to be united. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, chapter 1 of this lets us know our spiritual possession in Christ Jesus. And chapter 4 lets us know how to maintain this spiritual peace that we can find in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And chapter 4 lets us know that it is to be maintained. And the Bible teaches us right here, there is one body. Let's go to that. Now, many people don't quite understand what the body is. What is the body? Well, according to Colossians 1 and verse number 18, the body is the church. In Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, that the church is the body. The church is the body, and the body is the church. Now, there is one body. Now, if the church is the body, and the body is the church, sound like to me the Bible is telling us that there is one church. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter, because there are some nuggets in here that we've got to get to, because if we don't understand this, we won't understand any of it. You see, there was a time when Jews and Gentiles was against one another. One had God and the other didn't have God. There was one was living with the hope and one had no hope and no God in the world. And it was so important, if God is going to reconcile man back to him, that he had a plan to do it. Now, of course, it's through Jesus Christ, but he has a plan to do it. And Paul preaching the unity that we ought to have and how it took place. Wherefore, remember, verse number 11, that you were being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, the ones that was afar off were the Gentiles. For he is our peace. Now, I want you to understand that Christ Jesus is our peace. He's the peace that man can have with man, and he's the peace that man can have with God. For he is our peace, who have made both one. What are we talking about? We are talking about the Jew and the Gentile, and have broken down that no wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's the hatred that they had one with another, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself one new man, so making peace. You see, there's peace in Christ, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. You know something, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that one body is so important, because he reconciled all mankind in one body, which is the church. That's the church. And a lot of people say, well, does it really matter about the church? Yes, it matters, because he reconciled both in one church. Then the Bible says one spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. One hope. You see, hope is when you've got faith plus expectation. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when we obey that gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection according to the scriptures, of 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, when we obey that gospel and we add it to his church, and guess what? Our faith and our expectation, that if we are faithful to death, that we have a crown that fadeth not away, that we can make heaven our home. I expect to go to heaven. It's not because of who I am. It's because of what God has promised me. He has promised me that if I am faithful to him, if I walk and worship faithfully, and I be faithful to death, heaven will be my home. That's my one hope, and God and Father of all. You see, he is the Father of Jesus Christ, and guess what? He's also our Father. Yes, that makes Jesus our big brother, and that makes God our Father, and we are adopted into the family of God. Then the Bible says there's one Lord. You know, on the day of Pentecost, this is the first gospel message ever preached in Acts, the second chapter, chapter 2 and verse 36. The Bible says, let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says, when they heard this, They were pricked in their heart and they said, "Many brother, what shall I do? What shall we do?" Now, in Matthew 7, verse number 21 through 23, there's a sneak peek of the judgment. The Bible says in Matthew 7, 21 and 22-23, the Bible says, "Not everyone that call me Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And I say unto him, see, it's so important that we don't just have lip service. It's what we do that will allow us to call him Lord and for him to be pleased with what we're doing. We've got to have authority to do the things that we do. If we don't have the authority, we don't have the right to do it. That's why the Bible says that those that did not have the right, he told them to depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. You did something that you didn't have the authority from God to do. So now we can see that one Lord. And in Luke 6 and verse 46, the Bible teaches us that why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. It's very important because Matthew 17, 1 through 5, God tells us to listen to his son. Then we have the one faith, the system in which belief is produced. You see, the scriptures, the word of God, we have to listen to the inspired word. The Bible says in Psalm 68 and 11 that God gave the word, and great were them that published him. The Bible teaches us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And, you know, he that cometh to God must be a worshiper of God and hear him. You see, it is so important that we have the faith that comes from God's word. Because the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse number 23 that everything that's not of faith is sin. And according to Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you want to be separated from God, oh, do something that you don't have faith, you can't find in the Bible. And many people are doing that. They're doing what they want to do. They're saying it doesn't matter what church you're in. It doesn't matter how you worship God. It doesn't matter what to do to be saved. Now we have one baptism. Some people say baptism ain't even necessary. Well, some people are sprinkling. Some people are pouring. Some people are doing this and that. And well, I want you to know baptism, first of all, is a barrier. Romans 6, 1 through 4. Now, when you say the one baptism, we're talking about the one baptism that saved us. You see, because we have a baptism of Moses in 1 Corinthians 10 and 20, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3 and 11, the baptism of suffering that Jesus had in Luke 12, verse number 50, the baptism of fire. You see, that ain't came yet. You don't want that. That's Matthew 3 and 11. See, it's the baptism that saves us. That's the one baptism in water that saves us. Holy Spirit was never a command to be baptized. It wasn't a command to be baptized. It was a promise. And that promise was only to the apostles. That promise was never for us. That it was never a command to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as some people run around saying that you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, unless you speak in tongues and all this, that, and the other. But we're talking about the baptism that saves us. The Bible teaches us this in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21 and 22. Well, which sometimes was the disobedience, while once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism do also now save us. You see, we're saved in baptism. Jesus commanded it. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and law, which is even until the end of the world. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's so important that we understand God has one plan to save a man. Jesus prayed that we'll be one, and Paul preached it. Now, let me give you this plan of salvation that we have to obey today. Now, the Bible teaches us in Romans 6 and verse number 17, will God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. You see, we got to go to the Bible and see what they did to be saved. In order to be saved, a person first has to believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And then after believing God that Jesus Christ is God's Son, one then has to repent. He's commanded men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. He told his own disciples in Luke 13:25 that they had to repent. And after repenting, a person has to confess, not your sins, but you are to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts the 8th chapter. He says, see, here's water. What do hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, after this confession, then you can be baptized. And you see, baptism does some things. Baptism gives you the forgiveness of sins. On the first of Pentecost, after Jesus had gone back to the heavens, the Bible says, let the whole house of Israel know, assuredly that God had met the same Jesus, both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see, the Bible says, praising God in verse 47, and praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church. See, you got to be added to the church. You got to be added to the church. You can be baptized and added to the church any day. You can do it tonight if you want. All you have to do is believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and understand that Jesus only has one church now. He only has one. That's the one he built. That's the one he's adding to. Now, you might ask a question. What church is it? Well, I'm going to tell you like this. It's the one in the Bible. Well, which one is that? Well, Romans 16 and 16 tells us, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's the only church you can find in the Bible. I'm sorry to tell you that there is no other. I mean, there is no other. See, the Bible said faith come by hearing. Everything that's not of faith is sin. So you mean I got to be in the church of Christ? Well, the Bible says that's the one that he built. And guess what? That's the one he's going to confess to the Father. That's the one he won't come back for without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians 5, verse number 23. So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, now if you are a Christian and you haven't been faithful to the Lord, and you know who you are, and the Lord knows who you are, you need to repent. You need to repent and pray. And according to your repentance, God will restore you back to the fold. I pray on tonight, something has been said that will help us to try to make heaven our home. If you're not trying to live to go to heaven, you're just not living at all. You don't have that life that Jesus came and gave. You're still walking around alive but dead. Obey the gospel. It's the only power that God has to save. Romans 1 and 16. At this time, I am going to turn you back over to Brother Riggins. Thank you.